A fault is a weakness, a defect, a fracture. Faults divide, tear, and consume. Here in the city of Chester's Chasm, we struggle to maintain that precarious balance over the precipice and the earth, in our lives and in our hearts. This story is about four teenagers with faults of their own.
The fault between my faith and freedom.
The fault between my family and identity.
The fault between my choice and my obligation.
The fault between my life and death.
As these fractures grow, we stand at the edge and ask, what must we sacrifice to sate the void's endless hunger? Is it possible that the answer lies within all our faults?
Greetings, and welcome to All Our Faults, a Monster Hearts 2 actual play podcast. As usual, I am your gracious hostess and MC, Mistress Winter. In our last chapter, Crispin went on his first hunt for evil with his father. Though ultimately unsuccessful, Crispin earned the respect of Mr. Legatone and, by extension, the other members of the Church of Eternal Vigilance. Meanwhile, Michael and Bert compared notes regarding the evening's events while dancing around their feelings for one another. Michael's resulting dejection was quickly replaced by horror as he returns home to find Mr. Vega exiting his parents' key party with an ambiguous request. The next morning, Michael joined back up with Bert before picking up Celine so that they could have a very important talk. Shoutouts and thank yous to follow the episode. Please enjoy. Chapter 12. Bridging the Void Between Us.
Celine is... She always looks tired. I always look tired and stressed and erratic and anxious. It's definitely worse today. And there is just something eating at me. And it's very obvious.
I hope you're okay. I am not a danger right now. I don't know how comforting that is.
Michael, I'm really not actually worried about you.
Good. Okay. You might have guessed this. You might not. Bert knows. I'm a vampire.
Yeah, I was kind of starting to put the pieces together after what happened. how far out from the Cascade are we? How long will it take us to get there?
It'll take about 30, 45 minutes.
And I imagine there was like a long silence in the car between everybody that just built and built until Michael spoke. So we're probably like halfway there.
What the hell are you?
That's a great question. I will kind of like look at Bert and Michael. I'm assuming I'm sitting in the back and the two of you are sitting in the front seats.
I'm guessing that because I'm driving and I imagine Bert is like scrambling through maps, totally ignoring us. I don't know how you feel. What's Bert doing?
Bert is definitely like rifling through maps and stuff, trying to get the lay of the land. And then when you guys are like sharing, he's like, oh, I died. And then I like came back to life and now I work for death. That's my whole thing. But Celine, you said you knew he was a vampire. How'd that happen?
He kind of tried to bite me last night. That's how that happened.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I lost control.
It's all good, man. Truly kind of used to it.
I don't know what is going on. There is something that keeps amplifying the hunger around you. It comes in and it howls or something.
Yeah. There's something about me. I'll kind of keep talking around it until we get to the Cascade. And when we get there, I will be the first one out of the car. Like, you will have... The car will have barely stopped before I'm unbuckling and out. And I will walk over to kind of the cliffside where the waterfall is to look over. And I'll be staring directly at the place where I get to enter the Fey realm from high above.
I imagine Michael sliding into frame.
So, as has been described before, there is a bridge that traverses the sides of the waterfall at the top and allows for visitors to peer down into the giant gaping cascade caverns at the base of the waterfall. And that's where you will perch.
Yeah, Bert gets out of the car with all of his gear, shuffling out. Okay, we're here. I think we're secure. Just looking around.
I'll just be staring down at it, kind of waiting for the two of you to join me.
Michael does.
So you know that there's other realms. There's the realm of death that you both have experience with. Check that box makes things a little easier to explain. How much do either of you know about other entities that exist?
Not much, from my experience. There is my maker, and then there is death, and that's all I know. Bert?
Yeah, there's death, that's my boss. I fought some, like, minor things that, like, slipped through from other places, but I haven't felt, like, anything, like, intelligent or, I don't know, like, humanoid or anything. Like, I've fought, like, some, like, minor demons and stuff like that, but I didn't realize that there was other things besides, like, death and bigger entities out there. I didn't really think about it.
That's fair. So there's multiple realms. Realm of death, you know, demons. There's a fey realm. And the entrance is here.
Michael will, like, lean over and look into the chasm down there. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, down there.
What's the fey world like?
Well, it really depends on what part of the fey realm you're in. I haven't gotten to explore much of it. I'm half fey.
Huh, yeah. I guess that makes sense, too. You smell different.
I suppose that makes sense to a vampire, yeah. Smelling different, sure.
Is that what the tattoo is? Is that related? It, like, glitters.
Oh, yeah. And I'll immediately, like, pull my hair back to show the favorites. It's my fey mark.
Can I, roll to keep my cool? I'm just staring at that neck. Of, like, being creepy and, like, lingeringly looking at her neck.
What are you afraid of in this moment?
Gonna bite me again?
I feel like I have to resist the urge. Not to bite, but, like, the pull. Especially with you exposing your neck like that.
Okay.
Okay, that's a 7.
Success with consequences.
Success with consequences. In that case, your facade will slip, but you manage to muster it together again, and we can have Celine decide how she wants to react to catching that glimpse.
Maybe you see, like, a little bit of fang pop that wasn't there a moment ago. Like, my jaw goes a little slack, and then suddenly I, like, catch myself and close my mouth.
To be honest, this is not the scariest thing to her.
Fair enough.
So I think it would be more of a, like, oh, shit, sorry, yeah, and I'll cover my neck again. Like, vampire necks, blood. I should remember that. I apologize.
I am sorry. It's okay, I've fed. It's just, you have a nice neck.
Thank you, I guess.
Sorry. And this may be sensitive, but has anyone checked with Crispin?
We will cut away to Crispin. What is Crispin doing this morning? What are the preparations like for tonight's vigil?
Crispin was up much of the night doing a lot of reading, a lot of reflecting, a lot of questioning himself and internal preparation for tonight. He hadn't been taking the vigil as seriously as his father wanted because he's been conflicted he hasn't really felt the conviction of faith that his father has been drumming into him since he can remember. But last night, seeing what happened, hunting with his father, questioning the cop, now, if anything, he's more conflicted. I think he had been on the precipice of saying, you know, something is wrong. Something is rotten in Denmark. Like, things at home are not great. But now, after seeing such strong evidence of this evil that his father has always talked about, that he didn't necessarily think was real, he feels ashamed. He feels foolish. Like, he's been questioning his father. He's been, you know, moving away from the church. He's been becoming worldly, as they say. And it turns out they were right. So I think he spends much of the night until he passes out reading, going through his Bibles, going through his father's old journals, trying to play catch up for tonight. And I think he does eventually crash, catches a few hours of sleep. And when he wakes in the morning, the attitude is somber. He's dedicated to this. In a sense, I think he feels that the vigil tonight will either prove his father right or, bare minimum, let him know if this is the path for him, if this is what he needs to do to protect his friends. And as he's bathing, plaiting his hair, getting ready, I think a couple of times he goes to pick up his phone to text Celine and remembers that they're fighting. And he goes to text Bert and remembers the kind of awkward way he left Bert just standing over a corpse last night. And he goes to text Michael. And just something stops him. And he just thinks, he is struck by the fact that he cares for these people, but he doesn't, and he will protect them no matter what. He doesn't feel confident that they reciprocate his affection. And so he is preparing himself to act as their bodyguard, whether they want it or not.
As you come out of the bathroom attached to your bedroom, you find a set of clothes folded very neatly, laying on the hope chest at the end of your bed. They are archaic in style, but not so that you look like you're trying to dress as a Renaissance character. There's just a kind of almost like doublet style to the top, and you can tell that it's not normal everyday wear. This is your religious garb.
I would imagine it's similar to a knight's like colors.
Yes. Lots of like whites and golds for purity and the kingdom of heaven.
Piety and righteousness, man. Ugh.
Upon getting dressed, you head downstairs where you find your mom waiting for you in the living room where a altar has been set up. Instead of the smell of breakfast, you have this thick incense that has been burning, that's filling the bottom level of the house. Almost wordlessly, she takes your hand and guides you over to the altar, kneels down on this pillow, and bows her head in prayer.
Crispin goes to join her, and I do think he tries really hard to invest himself in some prayer, despite the fact that he is a little out of practice because of his recent doubts. But despite all of his concentration, I think his thoughts drift over to his mother, and he sneaks some glances at her. And, you know, in the last 12 hours, he's had to come to grips with the fact that evil is real and monsters are out there. And he thinks about his mom and how different she has always been, how she's not like other mothers, and how haunted she is by the loss of his siblings, even 20 years on. You know, he's the youngest of four, and something in the back of his mind starts to wonder if maybe they weren't miscarriages. Maybe something happened to mom. Maybe there's more to the story that he hasn't been told. And then that starts a spiral of, maybe I wasn't worthy of being told. Maybe I wasn't faithful enough. Maybe I wasn't devoted enough. And so instead of engaging in prayer, he is questioning everything he's ever done in his entire life. Every doubt, every moment of rebellion against his parents. Because as far as he knows now, they were right.
Please give me a gaze into the abyss.
Oh, I am bad at this, y'all. Okay, that's a dark?
Yeah.
That's a 4.
You have a million questions that pile on top of one another. And no matter how hard you concentrate, how hard you pray, you get nothing but silence.
And that silent response is not comforting to Crispin, because that silence, it was the first thing that made him doubt. His father and the church always talk about, like, fervent prayers are answered, and he's never heard anything. And so I think his newly reestablished faith is once again shaken, and he just feels alone.
For much of the morning, you are called to pray by tradition, to fast for the day, only water. And that makes the day crawl as it is. For the other 3, do you reach out to make contact?
I would, because I think during the time with Bert and Michael, everything would come tumbling out about my dad isn't just some fae. He's the king of the Unseelie. He was attacked. I haven't been able to go back since that happened. I don't know what's going on. Something's been after me. I'm the reason Jacob is dead. The thing that's after me killed him. I know it. And I think I would admit, not I think, I would admit to Michael and Bert that I am afraid of the same thing happening to Crispin. And I think that admission would cause me to send Crispin a text.
Well, that explains a lot.
It does. But whatever's chasing you isn't death, because I haven't received any orders to track you down, or I haven't heard anything about that.
No, I know it's not death.
Yeah.
It's just something that wants me dead. Something from whatever fae entity. It's something from the Wild Hunt, and it wants me. I'm not sure if it wants me dead or if it wants me alive, but I know it wants me. And I took some advice to get it off my back, and now Jacob is dead.
But you didn't kill him, right?
I did not slash him into pieces, no. But it's my fault.
I don't know about that.
I knowingly had sex with him. I had sex with him knowing that if I did, the thing hunting me would have his scent and would go after him instead of me. I didn't know he would die, but it's my fault.
We do what we have to survive.
I'm just really afraid of the same thing happening to the people that I care about, to my family, to either of you, and the weird friendship we're sort of creating. And I'm so afraid of it happening to Crispin. And I think I've ruined things with him. Admittedly, he started it.
No, he's an idiot. And he adores you. You're fine.
I'm not, because if I let myself feel these things for him, he could end up dead.
You'll just have to save it for marriage until we sort this out.
Being around me is a danger. It's after me. I can feel it.
Yeah, me too.
I'm hearing whispers, yeah, from my boss that there's something going out and around.
Bert.
Yeah.
Could you maybe do some research and help us figure out what this is?
You're asking me to do research.
Do you have talents?
Oh, no, I know. I just wanted to make sure, because When I go in, I go all in. So I'm going to right there. So I just want to make sure that you know the, like, you're going to get constant updates, spreadsheets.
You know, I'm really more of a results person.
Oh, okay. I just, I thought you wanted to be updated every step of the way, because I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to update you every step of the way.
That's so sweet. How about every other step? Think of it that way.
Okay. We can skip some steps. We can, you know, have different meetings in between my findings. But I don't know, Celine, you said something about a wild hunt. Like, I'm going to need to know all the info about what you know. It came from the Feywild, I'm assuming, right?
I guess I admittedly don't know much. I only recently was able to even tell my dad that something was after me.
Okay.
Because I really haven't been able to talk to him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't know much, but I can try and contact my father and his second in command, the captain of his guard. She's the one that gave me the advice, which, you know, worked. Just resulted in someone being dead. I
want info, and we need to know what this thing is in order to stop it or send it away or whatever we need to do. But I don't want to put you in a position where you feel like you have to go out on a limb and feel uncomfortable with a conversation with your father.
I mean, I'd like to know as much as I possibly can about the thing that's after me and could kill my friends and the boy that I have feelings for.
Yeah.
That's adorable.
I mean, is Crispin, does he know what you are?
No.
Okay.
No, he has no idea. I don't know that he'd respond well.
Yeah, maybe don't tell him yet.
I wasn't planning to.
I mean, Crispin doesn't know about any of us, does he?
No.
Okay.
That's probably for the best.
I guess so. I don't know, I just don't want him to be out of the loop as far as, like, when we start doing weird shit.
Do we know about the weird cult shit?
Yes. I mean, you talked to Deanna about it. Well, kind of. You know she was referencing it.
And that's like Crispin's reputation, right?
So my first week of school, freshman year, I'd been homeschooled up to that point. I got up on a table in the cafeteria and started trying to proselytize to everyone. So yeah, you guys know.
Oh, wow.
We know.
Also, so Celine and Crispin have been friends. We established that. So would Celine know a little bit more than most? Or does Crispin keep that all like locked up?
I think he keeps it pretty locked up because he personally is really conflicted about it. But I think there are certainly little crumbs that Celine would have gotten that other folks wouldn't. Like, I think you would have a little bit of a better perspective on, like, my really strict dad. I think you probably know that I have siblings that did not make it to live birth. So I think there are certainly some details that you have that other folks don't.
And then follow-up question. Do any of us know about the vigil?
I doubt it. That's a deep cult thing, so I think that would not.
Okay.
Maybe with his crazy Christian family, it's better to not mention the whole death, vampire, fairy thing.
That makes sense.
I mean, crosses are fine and all. They don't bug me, but...
Oh!
I don't want to...
I, like, put one away in my bag just in case you, like, attacked. I'm like, oh, they don't work. Oh, okay. Good to know.
So, I guess back to my original question. Is anybody reaching out to Crispin?
So, I think that this whole conversation, when we decide that we're not going to tell him, would kind of change something in me. I also think I feel like... today is the day, almost, like something really bad is gonna happen to me. The hunter is catching up, and I want to make things right with Crispin. So as soon as there's like a lull in the conversation and kind of Bert and Michael are talking, I will pull out my phone and send Crispin a text that just says, hey, have a minute to talk.
I think it takes Crispin a while to get that text because of all of the prayer and the preparations for this evening. So it's probably, I would imagine, mid to late afternoon by the time he actually gets it. And he takes a moment, and every single part of him wants to talk to her. Would it be a runaway to see if I could sneak out for 10 minutes to have a phone call?
Yes. Volatile.
11.
You manage to slip out of the house completely unnoticed.
As soon as I am far enough away as to be obscured by trees or another building, I'm sure that my voice won't carry back to the house. I dial Celine's number.
I answer immediately. The name pops up and I go, answer. And pull the phone up to my ear. But also, I answered that quickly, but then there's just silence because I don't know what to say.
I think Crispin takes a couple beats too before he's like, hey, are you there?
Hey, yeah, it's me. Hey.
Are you okay? You said you wanted to talk.
Yeah, I'm, yes, I wanted to talk. I wanted to apologize.
Don't. I should apologize. I was stupid. You were hurt and I was thoughtless and I'm so sorry.
I won't argue with you there, but thank you. I appreciate the apology. I'm sorry I was too angry to reach out sooner.
It's okay. Are you okay? Did something happen? Have you been crying?
I'm fine. Just don't worry about it.
You're not fine.
Crispin, it's okay. I promise. I promise it's not something that you need to concern yourself with.
Okay. You're right. It's your business. I shouldn't pry.
You have enough going on.
He kind of looks over his shoulder towards the house, expecting to hear his father's booming voice calling for him at any moment. And he goes, it's a bad day. It's not a great day for stuff. Are you sure you're okay?
I don't know if I'm being entirely truthful, but there's nothing that you can do, and I wanted to make sure that we cleared the air.
If this were D&D, I would ask to do an insight check.
You could gaze into the abyss.
Yeah, which is gonna go bad because I have a -2. Or no, I have a -1. All right, well, we'll fucking try it.
This is how we progress.
Yeah, it's gonna be a 7.
Success with consequences!
I'll take it.
So what are you seeking? What question?
She's lying. She's fucking lying to me.
Yes, 100%.
Eh.
Yeah.
She's not lying. She's just omitting the truth.
You're lying.
Celine fully believes she's gonna die today, by the way.
So I think Crispin snaps into golden retriever mode, or not golden retriever, German Shepherd mode. of where are you? Who are you with? What is going on?
I'm with Bert and Michael. I'm as safe as I can be anywhere else.
If I asked you to go somewhere safer, would you go?
There isn't anywhere safer.
Crispin cannot believe he's going to suggest this. Meet me at the church.
The church, Crispin, I that's right.
Meet me at the church. No, listen. God, for once, listen. Just meet me at the church. There's a vigil happening tonight. The elders will be there. I will be there. You will be safe. Please, please, please. I don't know what's going on, but whatever it is, you will be safer there than anywhere else in the world. Please.
Crispin, I really can't explain to you how much I will not be safer there.
You saw what happened last night.
Mm-hmm. I did.
That can't happen. That can't happen at the church. It's hallowed ground. You can't, it can't, whatever that is, it can't. Celine, you have to go.
There's not a good way to explain any of this to you. And now is certainly not the time. I just need you to trust me that hallowed ground will not make a difference with the thing that attacked last night. I just need you to trust me that I am aware of what it is and know some of its strengths and weaknesses.
Celine, that's brilliant. That's amazing. No, that's incredible. Listen, come to the church. Share what you know with my father and the other leaders and we'll take care of it. And it'll be fine. Celine, let me keep you safe.
When you find out what I am, when they find out what I am, you won't be saying that.
Celine, what you are is an innocent soul who is scared. I can hear it in your voice, but it's gonna be fine. It's gonna be fine. Hey, listen, let me talk to Michael.
I will just dejectedly walk over to Michael and hand him the phone because I don't know how to get Crispin to understand.
Michael's just gonna look at her and go, what? He's gonna mouth, what do you need me for?
He asked to talk to you.
Sure. And holding up the phone, yes?
Michael, hey, you have a car, right?
Yeah.
All right, I need you, and Bert's there too, right?
Yes.
Okay, I need you to pack Selene up into your car. I need you to bring her to my church. I give him the address, and I'm like, listen, she's really freaked out. I don't know what's going on with you guys. Like, thank you so much for being with her today. I can tell how upset she is, but she's going to be fine. And like, just, can you just bring her here? I'm going to let my dad know. I'm going to head over early. There's a bunch of us gathering at the church tonight. We can keep her safe.
I don't know that that's true, but we could stop by and see you.
Crispin is not being used to push back on like this. So I think he takes a second and he goes, and he looks at his watch and he goes, all right, I do need to be leaving soon. You know what? That's fine. Bring her here.
As if on cue, Crispin, you hear your father calling for you.
Crispin!
I immediately my shoulders go back, my spine is straight, and I go, okay, I'll see you guys. Just get here as soon as you can. And I have a flip phone. I snap my phone shut as quickly as possible. And I head back towards my house.
He had to hang up. He really wants us to swing by. He thinks his church can protect you.
Yeah, he thinks that hallowed ground will matter. He thinks it's some sort of demon or something, and I can't explain to him what it is.
No, I get it. No, he's adorable but dumb. It's fine.
He just doesn't know.
I know. Let's at least swing by so he chills.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ready to pack up, Bert?
Yeah, I mean, because we all have special abilities. Maybe there's some sort of merit to what they believe. I don't know. I mean, we gotta explore all options here.
The crazy cult people?
You're a fae. You're a vampire. I fight death. What? I don't know. I'm just kind of...
Bert, trust me when I tell you that vampires, fae, being an agent of death, all so much more normal than the fucking cult that Crispin is a part of.
I mean, I agree. I'm just saying they have some kind of ancient weapon or something that they don't know what they have, and we can repurpose it into something that can kill the Fae.
Okay. Interesting idea. Also, remember how crosses don't affect me?
Right.
If they don't affect me, whatever the thing is, probably also not gonna respond.
Yeah. Hallowed ground has no effect on hay, sealy, unsealy, wild hunt. Doesn't matter, it's not a deterrent. Crazy enough.
There is a distant howl.
Oh no.
Oh god.
It's coming.
Let's leave. Hop in the car.
Yeah.
Okay.
Either way, we need to get to Crispin, because if he's part of our friend group and it's targeting people you care about, we need to get to him before it does.
It's targeting people that have my scent.
I pull out a bottle of Axe and spray me.
That's not... Ugh.
It's... No, it went after Jacob because I had sex with him. Okay?
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah, you told us that a minute ago. Did you and Crispin have sex?
No!
Oh.
No, she's telling you about...
Yeah.
Just air out before you get in the car.
Oh, okay.
Let's hop in.
Right.
Also... When we're in the car, I think I'd try and contact my dad or Nerydia using the mirror, because I know that this thing is very, very close. They probably don't answer, though.
They do not. And you close the compact in frustration and glance out the window as you are all pulling out of the parking lot at the bottom of the trail. You spot Ella climbing out of a car with several other high school kids.
No.
Including...
No.
Sarah Paisley.
Hang on. At the Cascade?
Yep.
Sorry. Are we in the car driving?
Yep.
I have no idea why she's there?
Nope.
All right, I'm going to scream for Michael to stop the car.
Ah, with like a screech. What?
What's going on?
My sister's here. She needs to not be.
Okay.
Okay.
Try to... I hate the way you're going to hear this. Try to calm down because you don't want to look crazy.
Honestly, my sister already thinks I'm a fucking psycho, so I don't really care.
All right, I'll turn around. But take a breath,
then he'll turn around.
Does she know?
She doesn't know what I am.
Right. Okay.
Awkward.
Crispin, your father finds you after you slip back into the house, completely unaware that you had left the sanctity of the home. Are you prepared?
Crispin takes a deep breath. He's known this evening would happen since his earliest memories. But the truth is, no, absolutely not. How the fuck do you prepare for something like this? But he takes a deep breath and he squares his shoulders and he says to his father, I am as prepared as one such as myself could ever be for something like this.
It is understandable to be nervous, but you will be surrounded by the faithful and your family as you step off into this journey. We are leaving in 10 minutes to get to the church.
That soon? I thought we still had hours.
The preparations we need to make at the church will take up the remaining time before the vigil.
Preparations at the church? I don't understand.
The vigil is not at the church.
Father, how can we have... But the church is where we... I'm sorry.
I understand the confusion somewhat, but your vigil will be at the falls themselves.
Oh. Crispin is trying very hard not to look like shaken by this.
Roll to keep your cool.
That's a 6.
How does this break in confidence exhibit itself?
I think Crispin has been to the falls before for outings, church events, things like that. And I think they've always creeped him out. I think something about the falls has always been uncomfortable to him. And so I think as much as he has been able to, he's avoided it for as much of his life as he has control over. So the idea of this event that he's already a little apprehensive of and feeling a little, not lied to, but a little kept in the dark about, the fact that this is going to be happening there is deeply displeasing to him, to the point where for a flash of a moment, he feels like maybe his father is taking pleasure in torturing him, which would never happen. So I think there's just kind of a stuttering falter of just, but we do everything at the church, but there's our lives, our teachings revolve around the sanctity and the hallowed ground of the church. And I thought that I would be, you know, safe there, and to be out in the wilds is just unexpected.
There is this anger that washes over him and shows very cleanly on his face, and you may not be sure if he's not going to raise a hand against you. I thought that you were coming to understand our mission and our purpose. How? And he says this dripping with contempt, as best as I can. How are you supposed to protect a charge without being there?
Father, something is hunting. You saw last night at what happened at the school, and to be out at the falls.
And if it were to come within your vigil, you would be victorious because it is God's will and you are God's chosen. So whatever sinful fear has struck you, you will rid yourself of it, or I will.
Yes, Father. Crispin is struck in this moment by the realization that his father is offering him up on a sacrificial platter. Crispin feels with some certainty that he's going to die tonight. Celine is scared. He watched one of his classmates be brutally ripped apart last night. And now his father is going to dangle him out in this place as bait, and God's will isn't going to save him. Crispin is going to die.
Thank you to the Tabletop Tailspinners Network for giving us a home and director Emma Kokar for all that you do for us. A shout out to our social media queen, Juicy Garland. Thanks to my wonderful cast for their amazing contributions, Abby Marie Carter at Abby_Marie_Carter, Ben at DJ_Blindian, Juicy Garland at Juicy Garland, and Kat Kelly at Kat Kelly Social. I have been your MC and producer, Mistress Winter. You can find me at JMistress Winter. Thank you for listening, and may your hearts find safety and love. We'll see you next time.
Good to know.
just gonna update my Google Docs real quick.
Yeah.
Also,
Google Sheets.
Google Sheets, yes.
His spreadsheets are just being populated as we speak.
That's true. Also, can we just take a minute to appreciate the fact that the three friends that Crispin make are an agent of death, a vampire, and a fairy. It's fine. White guy and a cult. First three friends. Yep.
This has been a tale from the Tabletop Tailspinners Network.